that we're glad that he reached down to us. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and look with me, if you will, in the book. We're going to go back to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. I want you to look in chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4, and this is meeting time, I guess you will, between God and Moses, and there's still some discussion going on as far as what Moses is going to do and how he's going to accomplish it. And really, when you think about it, it is the idea that Moses doesn't want to do this. Amen. He's been met with God. He's already met him here in the wilderness. And most of you read that, and I guess really here in the last little while we have preached on that in chapter number 3, where God talked with Moses and told him, you know, he's on holy ground, and that God was going to take Moses and use him. And isn't it just real amazing who God uses and how he picks them? He don't pick them the way that I would. You know, pick them the way that you would. As a matter of fact, you know, when Moses gets to talking about this, Moses said, Lord, you don't want me. He said, I can't speak well. I'm not eloquent. I'm not, you got me mixed up with somebody else. God said, no, I know who I want. You're the man. And, you know, we have our own ways of doing the same thing, of saying, wow, that, man, this can't be right because God don't know what he's getting. Well, he does. As a matter of fact, that's kind of what we want to look at tonight. If you will, look in chapter number 4, and Moses is still fussing. Amen. He's still trying to put up his argument as to why he can't do this. Look in chapter number 4, verse number 1. It said, and Moses answered and said, behold, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your word, and thank you for everything you've done for us here tonight. And I pray, take this little bit of time, take these words, and use it to get glory and honor for your name tonight. May we just magnify the Lord Jesus and praise you. Thank you for what you do. Burden our hearts for those that are lost, those that need a touch, those that need something from God. Would you please help them tonight? And again, we'll just give you thanks and praise, honor and glory for everything that's done now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look with me particularly, if you will, in verse number 2. When the Lord's talking to Moses, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. I want to think on this thought tonight. What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? You know, I begin to think on this, and really have been thinking about it probably for a couple of weeks or so, and just, you know, trying to kind of get everything in a mindset, in a orderly fashion in my thinking. I'm thinking, well, you know, what is Moses doing? Well, you know, as you read the story, as a matter of fact, when you start there in chapter number 3, it said, now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So Moses is out in the backside of a wilderness area where there's nobody and nothing very much. Matter of fact, we see there in that chapter number 3 where the Lord came to him and revealed himself in that that burning bush. And so Moses is out here with a bunch of sheep, and he's trying to feed them and lead them from place to place and let them eat a little grass and graze and do their doings and go on their way. And then all of a sudden, he sees this great vision from the Lord. The Lord appears to him and begins to reveal to him who he is and his purpose for interrupting the life of Moses. Amen. Aren't you glad for some of them holy interruptions? When God comes in to where you are, hey, I like it. I like that. I like when God shows up wherever any of us are. And as a matter of fact, the Lord tells him, he said, Moses, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. Well, can I tell you, until God showed up, it wasn't holy ground, right? It was just another old barren, bad place in the desert. But now that the Lord has showed up, and God begins this discussion in chapter number 3 with Moses, and Moses begins to present reasons as to why he can't do what God's asking him to do. Boy, doesn't that sound like me and you most of the time? Well, God, I would, but, you know, I've got... I'm old. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too ignorant. I'm too uneducated. I'm too poor. I'm too whatever you want to put in a little blank spot there. That's us. We can find some reasons not to do what God may be speaking to our hearts about doing. Every one of us. You know, you've probably heard preachers. I've heard preachers down through my life say, oh, well, God didn't get much when he got me, and I wasn't very educated, and I wasn't very polished, and I wasn't very well-spoken, and I wasn't, you know, whatever. Again, you can fill in the blank with that you want to. And that's probably true. But can I tell you, that's not what God's interested in. God's interested in us in the same way that he's interested in Moses. And more than anything, God's just interested in you being willing to listen and do for him. So God asked Moses here in this question, you know, he says, look, or this statement, Moses says, but behold, in verse number 1, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice. Why would they want to listen to me? Do you know who? I'm nobody. They don't know me. They don't know nothing about me. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. We don't believe God. And God said, wait a minute. He said, what is that in your hand? And Moses says, well, it's a rod. Do you know what that was in Moses' hand? It was a common implement used in the shepherding process. What I'm saying is this, it wasn't anything unusual. It wasn't. I mean, every shepherd you see had one. Do you remember when David writes the 23rd Psalm, what he says there in that 23rd Psalm, he talks about the Lord's my shepherd. On down through there, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the rod was a pretty well-known implement for any shepherd of the day. I believe if you pick Moses' shepherd's rod up, you know what it'd say on it? You ever looked at a baseball bat? Baseball bats are made and they have all of the little sayings on them. Me and Sister Lynn like to look, when we're looking at it, I'll say, look at that one. That guy right there is using an old hickory bat. And there's some of them guys get up there, and you know what they got? They got an Adirondack. And some of them's got Louisville Slugger. How can you tell? It's printed on there. It's got some imprint. I believe if you took Moses' rod and picked it up, it would say, the official rod of shepherds everywhere. Amen? I mean, he had the official stick of shepherds everywhere. But can I tell you, hey, God was about to do something with that stick that just didn't make a lot of sense in the life of Moses. And God wants to do something like that for me and for you. When he looks at us and he says, what do you got in your hand? I like to see an old-time preacher run around with a... Now, this is a little bit big, isn't it? But run around with an old-time Bible in their hand. Amen? I like to see them run around with an old King James. I mean, usually wore out, black on the outside, and I mean all tore up on the inside. I like to see somebody run around with the old-fashioned Word of God. Amen? And when they do, you know what? I think somebody might ask, what's that in your hand? Oh, let me tell you, when you begin to think about what it is that you and I, many of you are sitting there tonight, and you've got one in your lap, you've got one in your hand, you've got something. Hey, can I tell you, it's something that'll be a great blessing to you in your life. What is that in your hand? I want you to notice, here's Moses, and he's got something, as I say, that's pretty common, pretty ordinary, pretty normal for a shepherd to have. Can I tell you, I believe me and you as Christians, this should be pretty ordinary. This should be pretty regular. This should be the thing that we all walk around with. It should be in our hands the Word of God. Amen. Well, what are you going to do with it, preacher? Well, let me just tell you some things. Think about these things with me tonight. When you look at what is that in your hand. First of all, I want you to realize that like that stick was in Moses' hand, it's something that you and I can work with. It's something that you and I can work with. Do you know that Moses, as I said, just like all the other shepherds, he had a rod. He might have had a staff in his other hand. Nothing is mentioned of that. We don't know that, and it's not pertinent to the issue. But he does have that rod. And that rod is for him to use while he's out with those sheep. Can I tell you, I believe, forever born again, saved Christian, you need you a good Bible, because, buddy, you're going to need it. Amen. You're going to need it. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I want you to know, first of all, I think when you look at this stick, if you will, this rod that's in Moses' hand, it's something he's going to work with. That I'll tell you this. First of all, it's something that he learned to serve with. It's something he learned to serve with. He learned that if he was going to get out and take care of his father-in-law's flock, he needed a rod in his hand. I mean, he had to have something there that would help him in the work. Hey, Moses was probably a very adept fellow, and he was probably, again, been shepherding for a while and knew about sheep and all that. But I want to tell you something. Hey, you still need something to work with. He needed something to serve while he was serving. I mean, he needed something that would be an implement to help. Brother, he had that stick. As I said, David wrote and said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He needed something to get out there when he was serving his master. And it says that he was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law. He was taking care of somebody else's sheep, but he needed something to do it with. Can I tell you, God's called us as preachers to take care of his sheep, but we need something to do it with. I need something to work with, and thank God I'm glad that I can serve him with his and through his word. Amen. The word of God. I'm telling you, when he had that stick, it was something he could serve with. Not only was it something that he could serve with, it's something that he stood with. I mean, he could stand with that stick. You know what he had to do sometimes? Sometimes he had to beat off the enemy. Sometimes he had to withstand against some things coming against the flock. Sometimes he had to stand there and literally tear some sheep away from a predator in some way. You remember what David said? David said, "A lion caught a sheep, and I went and got him out of the lion's mouth. A bear got one of the sheep. I had to go rescue that sheep from the bear." In other words, brother, sometimes you just got to make a stand, and you and I as a Christian can make a stand with the Word of God. You need to have the Word of God. I mean, if you're going to work in this thing, if you're going to be God's husbandman and God's workman, you need something to work with. You know what you got to work with? This right here. The Word of God is given to us so that we might work with. Now, I know there's a lot of other things, but I'm just kind of majoring on this issue right now with the Word of God. You need the Word of God to work with. And it was something that's going to help him to stand. I mean, he's going to be able to beat back the enemy. If he fell, he was going to be able to protect himself. If something come after him, he could fight back. Brother, can I tell you, it's the same thing with me and you and the Word of God. When we get in this fight, we need something to fight back with, and you've got it with that precious book you're holding in your hand. Amen? You need it. So here it is. That's something he's going to work with. I mean, he served with it. He stood with it. Don't you know this? He sojourned with that stick. You know how I know? The Bible tells us as he traveled on, God did some more things with that little stick that was in his hand. Every time he came upon some issue, God would say, take up your rod, lift up that rod and do this and do that. And here in a minute we'll talk about maybe a few of those things. But can I tell you, that rod was there and it went with him wherever he went. Can I tell you that as a Christian, you need to take this rod with you. You need to take this book with you. You need to let it go with you wherever you travel. Amen. Boy, can I tell you, when you're out in the world, you need the book. Hey, when you're fighting a fight against the devil, you need the book. When things are storming against your house and against your life, you need the book, the rod, the Word of God. We need that to help ourselves even as we sojourn. Isn't that amazing that how folks are, that once you get a hold of something that's pretty good, you kind of stay with it. Amen? Some of y'all like that, ain't you? Come on now. Y'all got socks that you had for 10 years. Well, preacher, they feel good. Right. Amen. Holy hallelujah. That's them saved socks. They're holy, holy, holy. Right? But let me just tell you, man, we got some of those things. You've got a favorite chair. You've got a favorite jacket or piece of clothing or whatever it is. And you broke it in and you like it. And you know what? You just stay with it. I mean, wherever you go, you take that with you. Somebody else might look at it and they might say, man, how long you had that? Thank God, let me tell you, I've had this a long time. As I said, I've seen some of these old preachers get up. They got that old black Bible. And I've seen some of them, son, they got duct tape on her. Woo! It'll hold her together, right? They'll open them pages up. They're yellowed. They've got tear stains. They've got where they've spit and sputtered while they tried to preach. They've got all kinds of marks to them where they've highlighted and underlined, written out in the mark. But thank God they ain't getting rid of it because they've traveled and they've traveled and they've traveled and it's helped them along the way. Amen. Can I tell you, you need the same thing in your life. This stick, this rod that Moses had, it was something that he had that he could definitely work with. I don't know what it is, but man, it's just like, oh, you see these folks, hey, they don't like to get rid of some of these senior folks. They don't like to get rid of their cane because they got that and broke in pretty good. They like the way it leans to the right or to the left or wobbles or wiggles or whatever it does. They're used to it. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way that it is with the Word of God. I was looking here the other day and I have got, and sentimentality, I guess, doesn't mean anything to everybody every time. But I got the first Bible that I ever remember having and that it's got my name up. My mom and my daddy got it for me. And can I tell you, there's some notes, there's some underlines, there's some markings in that little old Bible. It's a little old Nelson Bible, and it don't mean nothing. Man, one of these days I'm gone, it won't mean nothing probably to too many people. But I hope somebody can pick it up, crack it open, and say, look what that old preacher had to work with. Amen. Hey, it's the same thing that I've always worked with, but it's got some special sentimentality in it to me. Amen. And it carried me along the way. It'll do the same thing for you. You see, old Moses, he's a walking along with that stick. He's a pushing them sheep. He's a knocking off the enemy. He's a doing whatever. It's something that he could work with. It's something he could work with. You remember the story about Jacob? And after Jacob has his wrestling match with the angel, if you'll notice what the Bible tells you, that he had a limp. His leg was out of socket and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But if you look over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jacob in the hall of the faithful, in the words of Hebrews chapter number 11, the hall of faith. There he is, and it talks about how that Jacob worshiped God doing what? Leaning upon his staff. He had his rod. You know what? He leaned on that when he needed to worship God. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, me and you need to lean on this when we want to worship God. I'm telling you, it's something you can work with. But second of all, let me tell you this. Not only was it something that Moses could work with, but it was also something that Moses could witness with. Boy, what you got there, Moses? I got an old stick. It's got an old stick, it's just old stick in my hand. But I want to tell you something. When Moses began to look at that old stick, and he might have been going out some other places and some other time, and they'd say, Moses, we got you a brand new, 632 model. I mean, man, this is up to date. I mean, it's got four-wheel drive and traction control. I mean, we got you a new stick. No, thank you, I'll just stay with this one. Well, why you want to stay with that one for, Moses? He said, well, let me just tell you about this stick. Can I tell you about this stick? He said, that with this stick, I can tell you about what God has done for me. Amen? Woo! Old Moses can take that stick, and they'd look at it, and they'd say, well, I don't see anything special about it. What's so different about that, Moses? He said, can I tell you? He said, there was a day when I wasn't sure about what God was doing in my life, and God wanted to show me, and He told me to throw my stick down. And I did. And you know what happened? It turned into a snake. Woo! Hey, they lost me right there. Amen. You see that in here, what it says? It says, and the Lord said in verse 2, what is that in my hand? He said, a rod. And he said, God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Woo, let me tell you. Again, they lost me right there. I mean, look. I'm kind of like my daddy-in-law used to say this. He said, I'm afraid of three kinds of snakes. Live ones, dead ones, and sticks that look like snakes. Amen? And I'm about the same way. I mean, I'm scared of them, right? I have a healthy respect for any kind of snake. And I don't know, but the theologians say, you know, Moses probably encountered snakes in the wilderness as he led sheep about. That might not be an unusual thing. But the thought here is that maybe, we don't know for absolutely certain, but that this snake was a cobra. Woohoo! Y'all like that? I don't either. I see them on videos and on pictures, and them knuckleheads out there trying to pick them up and pet them and play a flute and watch them dance. And I'm like, you've lost your mind, son. You are crazy, right? And they just over there smiling like, well, watch what I'm going to do. And I'm like, mm-mm, I don't like it. And lots of, I've even looked at, Lynn looked at me, she said, I can't even watch that. I don't even see it. Let me just tell you, isn't that one of those things? But hey, Moses, hey, he phoned that thing down. And listen, hey, God told him here in a few minutes, he said, now grab it by the tail. Uh-uh. Not me. be like some of you. They ain't going to happen. But he does, and it turns back into his rod. Boy, what a story he has to tell. He said, can I tell y'all what God has done with this thing that I hold in my hand? Can I tell you, can I share with you a story about what God's done with what I have in my hand? Can I tell y'all a little story about what God's done for me with what I hold in my hand? And I bet some of you could tell a story about what God's done with you for what you've got in your hand. Amen. The Word of God did some things. The Word of God was probably in the beginning like that snake. It was something that I didn't understand. It's something I was scared of. It's something I was ready to run from. It's something that I didn't know. But after a while, woo, I liked it. Amen. And I could get out and touch it. And it became to me exactly what I needed in my life. It's the Word of God that 'll do something for you. And Moses now can tell. I mean, he can witness. It is something that he can witness to the fact of what this book has, what God has showed him through it. God showed him something. God was saying, look, Moses, I want to show you what I can do. Not what you can do, but what I can do. And Moses is amazed. I want to show you this, second of all. Not only does Moses tell about what God showed him with his stick and how he's witnessing, but he also got to where he could tell how it affected him. Look at that in verse number 3. It said he cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Look at that next phrase. And Moses fled from before it. Hallelujah. That's me right there. Running from a snake. Right? I mean, Moses, as I said, he's probably encountered snakes before. But there must have been something a little bit unusual about this snake. It surprised him. It shocked him. And I believe it scared him pretty good when he saw this snake. But you know what? Man, he learned that God is still in control. I'm telling you, as I say, when somebody starts preaching the word and either you're not real familiar with it or you're lost, hey, it'll scare you. It's like, man, what's he got? Amen? I'm telling you, hey, I probably been around them, but I ain't been in them, okay? There are churches around our area, and I say particularly in northeast Alabama, where they have live snakes in the service. Amen? Yeah. How many of y'all want to get a boatload up to go? I didn't think so. Amen. They say, oh, preacher, you've got to have faith. I got faith that God's given me enough sense to stay away from that. Amen. That's how much faith I got, right? But because I'd be like Moses. I'm telling you, Moses fled from before this snake. I mean, his sense of fear and of awe and of snake all kicked in. He said, I'm getting out of here. Amen. And you know what? I'd be right behind him, right? Amen. And here he is. But, you know, he's got a story now to tell of how that affected him. This affected, it brought fear. Can I tell you, when I heard preachers preach the Word of God, and still sometimes when I hear them preach the Word of God, it affects me. It affects me. I hear them preach, and God gets down in my heart. Sometimes He kicks over the bucket, and I get so happy I can't stand it. Sometimes they preach, and it hurts my heart. It wounds me. It speaks to me. It does something to me. But I'm telling you, when you hear the Word of God, and I mean God really gets in it, it will affect you in some way. That's what it's supposed to do. The Word of God. You remember what John says over in the book of Revelation? He said, I ate it. He's talking about the scroll. He said, the angel, go ahead and take a bite of it. He took a big bite of it. He said, it's sweet in my mouth. But when I swallowed it, it became bitter in my stomach. Oh, can I tell you, that happens sometimes too, don't it? The Word of God will have some kind of effect. I like the effect that it has on the old sinners. Don't you? I believe the Word of God will convict old sinners. I believe when they hear the Word of God, I mean, the Bible said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When an old sinner hears the Word of God, it affects their heart and it gets them to a place where they need to get saved. Amen. That's what it did with me. I told y'all when I was lost, man, I'd sit at the back of the church and the preacher would preach to me. And I thought, well, I'll fix that. I'll move up about midway of the church and he'll shoot over my head. You know what? He found me in the middle of the church. Well, I figured, hey, I got that beat. I can move all the way up to the front row and he'll think, oh boy, there's a good old boy. Well, you know what? He shot me on the front row too, amen. Everywhere I moved in that building, the Holy Ghost will get after you because it will affect you when the Word of God is preached. It'll do something to you. Moses said, buddy, hey, I don't like snakes. I'm scared. I mean, he fled from... You know what that word fled means? He run like a little chicken. Amen. Like me and you would do. So he's on his way. But he's got something he can tell, hasn't he? Can I tell you how the Word of God affected me? He said, boy, I was fearful of it. I was in respect of it. I was in awe of it. But it was doing something all the while that was headed toward my good. So he could tell how it affected him. He could tell what God showed him with that. Showed him a snake and showed him a rod and showed him all those things. And then he could also tell him how it was something that would work for him through the rest of his life. Do you know that when Moses goes down, and we know there are 10 miraculous things that happen in the land of Egypt. Five of those things, and I don't have them written down, but there's five of them, if you want to go read them. five of those things that happened while Moses is in Egypt, chapters number probably 7, 8, 9 of Exodus, when you're reading them, five of those things happen. And God says, stretch out your rod. And when he stretches out his rod, the water becomes as blood. Ooh, that's ugly. But it's that same rod. It's just a stick. But in the hands of the right man, empowered by the power of God, it changed that water into blood. And then in one part of it, and as I say, there's five of them, but we'll talk about a couple. One, he puts his hand out, and the land gets full of frogs. Amen? I mean, everywhere you looked, there was a frog. How y'all doing on frogs? I'm scared of snakes. I can handle frog, but I sure don't want no frog in my bed. Don't want no frogs on the table. Don't want frogs all over the living room. But that's what they had. The land was filled with frogs. And there was nowhere they could go that there wasn't a frog. Amen? Now, eventually, the frogs die. And I bet that's a mess to clean up, don't you? But that's what's happened. And all of that happened because Moses stuck that rod out and God did some things through that rod. I'm just saying, man, when God, he's gonna do some things. God's going to do some things. And he's going to do it with this right here. I mean, if that rod was something that's going to do some work for him down through. Now, listen, it wasn't just that, okay? You remember when they get over to the Red Sea after they leave out of the land of Egypt and they get over to the Red Sea and here's Pharaoh's army behind them. There is a mountain off to the left. There's a mountain off to the right and the Red Sea is before them. What does God tell you? He said, stretch forth your rod and watch the glory of the Lord. God backs the waters up, lets the wind blow through, and the children of Israel pass through on dry ground. How did he do that? He stuck that rod out. God was using that in a special way. You remember, they get out in the desert, they're walking around, people start complaining, we got nothing to drink. Takes that rod, smites a rock, water sprays up. Remember that? What else happens in that same chapter 17 of Exodus? Moses is there, and they begin to fight a battle with Amalek, and as long as he could take that rod and hold it over his head, Israel prevailed. But when he got weak and his arms lowered and the rod fell, hey, the enemy would prevail. But there's a couple of guys that got on either side, Aaron and Hur, and they lifted up the rod of God, and victory came to the children of Israel. What I'm telling you is, man, when you think about it, hey, that was a witness to every one of them that saw all of those miraculous things. I'm telling you, it gave Moses something to tell about how that God would work for them in any area of their life. Praise God for that. Amen? All right, let's look at one last thing. I tell you, Moses had that rod, and it became to him something that was of a wondrous worth in his life. I mean, can you imagine that? Here's Moses, and he's gone down through these years. And he's wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He delivered them out of the land of Egypt, wandered in the wilderness 40 years, and he's still got that old rod. I mean, you know what that is? You know what a rod is? It's an old dead stick. Just an old dead stick. Amen? I remember when my kids was little, and Mama, Daddy had a couple old sweet gum trees out in the front yard, and you know stuff fly off them sweet gum balls and the sticks and all that would fall off. My boys would go out there, and you know what? They'd get them a stick, and they'd start sword fighting each other with a stick. They'd start hitting them gum balls with a stick. I mean, they'd get and they'd use that stick for everything. It became a bat. It became a sword. It became something to kind of swoosh and play around with. I mean, it was just a little bit of everything. You know what it was? It's just an old stick. It's a dead stick. But can I tell you, when God looked at that and said, Moses, what you got? I got an old dead stick in my hand. He said, look again. That stick became alive. I mean, it turned into a snake. It turned into a snake. And I'm telling you, it became alive out of the hand of Moses when God gets in it. Can I tell you, a lot of folks say, oh, that's just an old Bible. That's just an old book. That's just something that was written years and years and years ago. There's nothing to it. Can I tell you, right here is something that's still living and it'll still do the job today. Amen. It still gives life. It is still alive. Hey, Paul said that it was sharper than a two-edged sword. Brother, it's quick and it's powerful. It'll do the job today because it is alive. It looks like it's dead. It looks like it's a relic. People say, put it in the museum, preacher. Forget about it. Don't even worry with it anymore. But can I tell you, it's still alive to me. It's still the living Word of God. It's still what Peter said, that you're not born by a corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a living Word? Man, it is something that has a wondrous worth to me and to you. It'll come alive. It's just a dead stick, but it's a dead stick. But can I tell you? It sure did get some acclaim in the hand of Moses. And what I mean by that is, you know, people to look at him, and, well, first of all, look at Moses. Moses throws that stick down, it becomes a snake. And God says, pick it up. Now, I was born probably at night, but it wasn't last night, okay? I ain't grabbing no snakes by the tail. Because they know how very well to turn around and bite you. But God said, grab him by the tail. That ain't the way you do it. You pinch their head down, you get them behind the head. God said, don't do it. Let's pick him up by the tail. Okay. I mean, he'd have to talk to me 2 or 3 times. Or 300 or 400 times. But anyway, he reached down and he picked that thing up and it became a stick again, right? What I'm saying is Moses never looked at that stick the same again. That stick had gained some acclaim in the eyes of Moses. And from then on, when God would say, do something with that stick, Moses just went ahead and did it. Stretch it out over the Red Sea. Moses didn't have to stop and say, God, wait a minute, don't let go. He said, I've seen him do it. It's an old dead stick, but look, and that water started backing up. And God said, go smite the rock with it. He just took that stick and said, wham! And the water began to spur out of the rock. What I'm saying is, he never looked at that thing the same way again. Can I tell you, when me and you get in our Bibles and we begin to see what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do, you'll never look at it the same again. It'll mean something to you that it's never... Can I tell you, boy, each time I can sit in my study, I begin to read, and sometimes you think, well, this is the same old stuff, and all of a sudden God will say, here, let me drop you something. He'll put a nugget in your lap, woo, then you won't get up and take a lap, shout, run around, say, thank you, God, amen. Why? It's because of what He's done in His Word, and He does through His Word, and it is something that brings acclaim to it. I mean, there's nothing. Can I tell y'all? I was reading something here the other day, and they're saying about, you know, historical thing. Anybody in this room ever met William Shakespeare? I didn't think so. Y'all about like me. Did any of you knuckleheads like me have to read that mess that he wrote? Amen, I did. I read that, and I'm telling you, I still don't know what he said sometimes. Right? And they still... torturing kids today by making them read that stuff. It's good for you. I guess. I don't know. Amen. I mean, read Romeo and Juliet and you'll be so mixed up. You don't know, you know, who all's what and who's on which side and who's in love and who's out of love and everything. I mean, it's just, you know, to me, I'm like, okay, whatever he said. But that's William Shakespeare. But you know what? The world applauds him today. Now, you talk about Jesus. Anybody here ever met Jesus in a face-to-face meeting? Nope. But I sure have met him down in here. And I sure have come to know him more dearly, more nearly. And I do it by reading his word. And this word is much more alive. It is much more active. It does much more for me than anything that Shakespeare ever wrote in his life. Amen? Huh? I'm just telling you, man, this That stick, when it is a dead stick, but it sure did win some acclaim in the eyes and in the life of Moses. He never looked at that thing again. I mean, man, can you imagine that dead stick? Can you imagine that dead stick? It had an appeal to others, that were with him. What's that he's got in his hand? Looks like a dead stick to me. Yeah, but man, look what he's doing with that dead stick. You know, I can imagine after a little while, his little boys of the children of Israel, Daddy, can you get me a stick like Moses has got? I want one of them sticks. I want one of them sticks when you stick it out, the waters move. I want one of them sticks that when you hit that rock, water comes out. I want one of them sticks, man, when you hold it up, the victory's on. I want one of them sticks. Amen? Well, can you? It has an appeal. Can you imagine and remember hearing dear old preachers preach the Word of God from days gone by? And, hey, listen, I'd get up front where they're sitting. I want to hear what they got to say. I want to rub elbows with them. I want to know what it's all about. But can I tell you, hey, they had a Bible just like mine. They had, the pictures and the words and the print all the same as my Bible. But, buddy, I'm telling you, when it got in their hands and God got in that thing, hey, it came out with a whole different outcome. Amen. People's lives got changed. I mean, people began to rejoice. People began to worship. People began to get excited. People began, and brother, there were just some wondrous things that went on. And you knew the worth of the Word of God. Amen. I'm just telling you, when this book comes alive to us, and you know, to this world, it looks like an old dead stick. But when it gets in your life, you realize that God can take this and the changes that He can make in your life. You realize that you just yield to Him whatever you have in your hand, and God can take it and get glory and honor out of it. Amen. I mean, it could be one of those things that become a burden to you if you're not careful. But man, can I tell you, God can take it. He could bless others, and He could bless you with that same Word of God. Has He done that for you tonight? Has He done that for you? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would. What's that in your hand? What is that in your hand? What is that? Oh, preacher, it ain't nothing but the old Bible. Amen. Y'all remember that song? I've heard a lot of people sing it. But old brother and sister Cape used to sing that old song, God's Wonderful Book Divine. Oh, my goodness. What light is that shining? Amen. It's God's wonderful book divine. What chart for the traveler? It's God's wonderful book divine. Can I tell you, it still amazes me, thrills me, challenges me. And I still love to hold it in my hand. I heard a story a preacher friend of ours told years ago. Said he was out preaching in the countryside. And said he's preaching revival and he wanted to go out visiting some of the people in the area. He went out and he went to an old simple home and said there was an older woman sitting out on the porch. Said she's sitting there and had a Bible laid in her lap. And he said he walked up to the porch and said, "Hello, ma'am," and he introduced himself. And he said, "I'm so-and-so and I'm running a revival and I'd like to invite you to it." And she looked at him and acknowledged him and said hello to him and, you know, sat there and she's a-rocking and he said, "What is that you've got in your lap?" She said, "It's my Bible." And he said, "Oh, well," he said, "could I ask you?" He said, "What have you got it turned to?" She said, "I have no idea." She said, I can't read a bit." He said, "Well, can I ask you, why are you sitting there with it in your lap and you got it open?" She said, "Because I just know that it's God's Word and it just feels good to have it." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, God's wonderful book, divine. It may look like some old dead stick to this world, but it's still, man, it's still got some power and some stuff in it you and I don't even realize. Let's stand tonight. What are we going to sing, Brother Ryan?